This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Just one day after 14 people were shot and killed in San Bernardino, California, the U.S. Senate rejected two gun control bills. North Carolina's Republican senators voted against the measure that would have required background checks and prevented those on the terror watch list from buying guns. The latest shooting prompted renewed debate about the power of the NRA. And in state politics, Governor Pat McCrory officially declared his reelection bid this week. The state Democratic Party questioned the veracity of the announcement video. In particular, they dispute his claim that he was laid off. And presidential hopeful Donald Trump visits North Carolina today. The GOP frontrunner will speak at Raleigh's Dorton Arena tonight. How is he faring with voters here? Well, the political junkie will tell us about that and much, much more. Ken Rudin, welcome back to the State of Things.
Thank you, Frank. Every time I get on your show, I say, boy, what a week we've just had, what a month we've just had, and it gets worse and the headlines get worse.
It's a dramatic week, and it's one after another, 355 multiple shootings, mass killings in the state, in the United States of America in the past year, practically one a day. In fact, more than one a day at this point. And two measures in the Senate that would have addressed gun control both failed. But tell us what they would have done, Ken.
Well, you know, my first thought was, why would the Republicans allow a vote on gun control right after the slaughter of the latest gun violence? Mm. But of course, these were Democratic amendments to basically a budget reconciliation bill. So this really had nothing to do much with the bill itself, but the Democrats wanted to go on record, put the Senate on record. The first one was by Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, who basically would expand background checks for those who want to buy guns on either online or at gun shows. And that failed 50-48. Now, of course, you needed 60 votes for it to pass, but it still failed anyway, 50-48. Only four Republicans voted for it, and three of the four are in tough reelection battles, so that could have been part of that vote. So it's not a surprise that neither Tillis nor Burr voted for it. The other one, Dianne Feinstein has been pushing for a while. This would bar those on the terrorist watch list from buying guns. I mean, you can't get on a plane because you're on a terrorist watch list, but you can buy guns in this country. Feinstein, I think that's insane, but that still failed 54-45. And I mean, that wasn't even close, that vote.
And again, very little crossover, pretty much strictly partisan lines, right?
Right. Four, like, as I said, in the first vote, I think there was only one Republican, Mark Kirk, who voted for this bill. One Democrat voted against it. But, you know, we talk about the power of the NRA, and we know how reputable, how widespread that power is. But an NBC poll out this summer showed that Planned Parenthood may be the most popular organization in the country, the second most popular is the NRA. So we could talk about, why don't we stop the NRA? The NRA is not an unpopular force in this country.
Not an unpopular force, and yet 80% of Americans, according to the latest Rasmussen poll, are in favor of stricter gun control.
And not only that, absolutely, and not only that, the people who bought the automatic weapons that did this carnage in California, San Bernardino, and California has one of the most stringent gun control laws in the country, they bought the guns legally. I mean, so if you're allowed to go into a gun shop in California and buy what is basically an M16, and, you know, by jiggering it around a little bit, able to expand the magazine, what's the point of these gun laws if they can't prevent somebody from just going in and buying guns that could just shoot 24, 30 rounds at a time?
Well, and of course, nobody will argue that the strictest gun control laws would ever prevent once and for all these kinds of killings. I mean, that's obvious to everyone. But the logic of this, and again, you mentioned Republicans who are vulnerable, up for reelection, having to maybe rethink this. If you're talking about a body that just rejected the entry of Syrian refugees, whether we knew anything about their background on national security grounds, and then said, yes, it's okay to sell guns to people on a terror watch list, again, in terms of voters, 80% of whom think we should do something about gun control, How does this play out? And remember, Senator Richard Burr is up for re-election. How does this play out?
You know, that's a very good point, but that shows the difference between the two parties. The Democrats are talking about the danger of guns, the easy availability of guns, and the Republicans are talking about terrorists and Muslims and people coming into this country, and they watch what happened in Paris, and it was no surprise that, you know, the House voted not too long ago to bar Syrian refugees from coming into the country without a more stringent watch list. So Donald Trump and the Republican candidates are talking about terrorists and the acts of terrorism. And the Democrats are saying, well, if you want to stop acts of terrorism, how about if we just, you know, stop the availability of guns? And that's a battle between the two parties that continues.
All right. Well, talking about the upcoming election, Governor Pat McCrory made it official. He is running for re-election. He declared his candidacy. The governor filed and he announced his re-election using this video. Here's part of it.
Long before I was elected governor, one of the hardest things I ever had to do in my life was to come home after my job was eliminated and tell Ann I didn't have a job anymore. So when I put my hand on my family Bible 3 years ago to be sworn in as the 74th governor of our great state, I knew what too many families in our state were going through.
Okay, the layoff part of that, I guess the Democrats are challenging. They took a look at his resume, and there are no gaps. So if the resume is not inaccurate, then where was the layoff? There was a reorganization of his job, I guess, with Duke Power, a kind of a three-week transition from one job that was eliminated to a new job. So what about this, Ken, the idea that the governor's saying he was laid off and knows how it feels?
Well, obviously the Democrats want to lay him off for a much longer amount of time after November of 2016. But basically, you're absolutely right. If you look at what happened at Duke Energy, apparently he was either out of work for 3 weeks or some kind of a readjusting of the jobs. But, of course, we know that what the governor was trying to do is that I have this empathy for people without jobs. There are a lot of people. The economy is not working for everybody, and believe me, I know the suffering you've gone through, but to equate what people are going through and the fact that he may have been out of work for 3 weeks from Duke Energy is a little bit of a stretch. The Democrats are having fun with it, but you know exactly why the governor was trying to bring that connection between himself and the people who were just not doing so well off in the state.
The people. Hey, Donald Trump. Ken, Donald Trump, 36%, according to the latest CNN poll. His next leading challenger is down at 16%, Ted Cruz. What do you think?
Well, you know,
and he's coming to North Carolina. He'll be here. By the way, he's coming to Raleigh tonight.
Yeah, he's going to be there, a rally in Raleigh. And, every time he says something more incendiary, he's talking about, seeing these cheering Muslims in New Jersey after 9/11, which nobody else in the world saw except his supporters on Twitter. He talks about how whites are being killed more by blacks than by anybody else. He mocked the physical disability of a New York Times reporter. Every time he does something like that, his numbers go up, whereas Ben Carson, the other so-called outsider, when he says something, everybody says, oh, my goodness, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, especially when it comes to terrorist attacks on the war on terror. And it's interesting how Carson's numbers are declining pretty rapidly. He's fallen well out of second place. Ted Cruz seems to be moving up in Iowa. But Donald Trump's numbers do not change. There is no poll I've seen where Donald Trump is not the front runner either.
It's going up. And Ken, I'm putting you on the hot spot because every time I raise this, you keep telling me, well, you know, at this point in the campaign, Dewey was at 37 points. But I mean, it's we're getting closer and closer. And the numbers keep going up.
Too much to go before Iowa and New Hampshire. I still say Donald Trump is not the nominee. Right. But I do expect that he'll be denied the nomination. He'll run as a third-party candidate. The Republican Party finishes third in November 2016. That's my prediction as of December 4th.
All right. Listen.
Donald Trump just said, look, I'll deny ever saying it.
And somebody's going to believe it. 26% of Republican voters at the moment. 36%, I should say, according to CNN's latest poll. Let's take a look at the state level. This is interesting. North Carolina General Assembly passed legislation last year that institutes a retention vote for incumbent state Supreme Court justices. What it says is that if you're in office as a state Supreme Court justice, you don't have to have a challenger. People just vote for you or against you, and you have to get a wide percentage of the vote to stay in office. There's a lawsuit that was filed that contends that that's an up or down vote, is not an election, but in fact a referendum, and the state constitution requires an election. Ken, how common are these retention elections?
Well, it's not very common. 19 states have it, and you know there have been some famous ones in recent history. In Iowa a few years ago, the voters unretained, I guess that's the word, three justices because they voted to legalize gay marriage. There was the famous case of Rose Byrd in California, who opposed the death penalty. There are states who have it. I mean, I think basically what's bad about this is that I would love to keep justices and the judiciary away from political decisions, but if you have, you know, voters voting to retain them or not, you just wonder if the judges will vote for the Constitution or vote for fear of being, turned out by voters. So it's a tough thing. 19 other states have it. I don't think the lawsuit has a legitimate case against it. But again, that goes to the argument whether these judges should be elected in the first place and be part of the political system.
Well, the other side of that is if it's going to be an election or a referendum, either you're appointed for life. But right now it replaces a full-blown election. And, of course,
right,
voters would always...
Once you're elected the first time, then the next thing is just a retention. Exactly.
Well, yeah,
and if you're voted down, right, you have to have a new special election anyway, right?
That's the deal. So we'll talk more about that. Ken Rudin, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the complex work of M.C. Escher on display at the North Carolina Museum of Art. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.